an awful lot of bad noise around Hanley today, but some good noise too. The gospel, good news about Jesus. If you've not read about him, it's time you did. If you don't, not acquainted yourself with the Bible, what God has to say, you're in a bad place, a very bad place. Need to get on the right side of God, the smiley side of God, because there's a day coming, says, when he's going to judge all men in righteousness. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. And of course, the problem is that we've all sinned and come short the glory of God. And so something needs to be done about that sin factor. But of course, you're not able to do nothing yourself. That's why you need God and the salvation that he's made known, only to be found in the Bible. A lot of people, you know, they say that they believe in God. But if you don't believe in the God of the Bible, God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't matter what religion you subscribe to, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Roman Catholicism, don't matter a hoot. You're not a believer in God. You're an idolater. There's only one true God. That's the God of the Bible. You don't believe in him. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, you're lost. You're in your sin. You're undone and facing the wrath of God to come, and under the wrath of God presently. So there's something you see to be saved from. Saved from your sin, its guilt and its consequences. And of course, God's made known in the Bible how that sin can be dealt with, how it can be forgiven. Need to know day coming when your conscience is going to be awakened. It's asleep today. You know, conscience is dead today. No sense of right and wrong. Amoral society. But the day's coming. Might be as late as the day of judgment. Hope before then for your sake that you might be saved. But it's a guarantee, one day sooner or later, conscience of yours will be awakened. And you need to know in that day, in that time, you need to know where to go in order to find forgiveness. Know what to do. A lot of people don't. You know, turn to all kinds of remedies, you know, drugs, legal and illegal. You know, just numb the conscience, enable them to carry on living in their sinful course, their wicked lives. Some turn to the alcohol, you know, to the drink, anything to numb the conscience, anything but acknowledge the truth that you're a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Suppress the truth, you see, in unrighteousness, God says in the Bible. That's the problem. But of course, no answer there, no remedy there. Only through Jesus, only through the Son of God. Got to be born again, he says. Got to be washed in his blood. Got to be made clean. You got to get a new life. Okay, sir, have yourself a nice day, eh?
That's you, man.
And you. So you see, people, it's not what you do, it's what God does or what God can do. If that is, you'll repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. So, never read the Bible for yourself, not acquainted with it, offer to you a copy of an extract at least from the Bible, Mark's Gospel. Yours to read and do with as you will. It's God's Word. Make you wise for salvation if you read it, if you study it, if you believe it. Make you wise, not clever. Go to Oxford and Cambridge. Might make you clever, but won't make you wise. Only God's Word can do that. Of course, some people live with this foolish notion. See, it's in the paper again today. The evolutionary lie. Evolution is a lie. Comes from the very pit of hell. Comes from the devil himself. It's one of the devil's top 10, if you like, you know. The evolutionary lie. There is no God. You know, the Bible says that you believe in God. You know that God exists just as much as I do. The Bible says that. God has made it plain to you. He says you even understand it. He says he's shown it to you. And as a result, he says, you ain't got no excuse, none whatsoever. Trouble is, you see, like all natural men, you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You know, like daddy takes the kids to the swimming pool and he takes out the beach ball. He puts it underneath himself and he holds the ball down underneath himself. Of course, he's playing the fool, like, you know. And he shouts to the kids, he says, where's the ball? Where's the ball? He knows where the ball is. He's holding it down underneath the water. Knows where it is. Like fashion, you play the fool, says God. You cry out, where's God? Where's the proof of his existence? Give me more information. Nah, you're just playing the fool. You know that God is. And you just, in the same fashion, you hold the truth down in unrighteousness. You don't want there to be a God. You can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. You don't want to find him because you know he's not happy with you. You know he's displeased with you. You know he's angry with you. So rather than acknowledge that he is, you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You hold it down and you live in the self-deception, the delusion that there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. God says so. So you see, people, it's self-deception, it's self-denial. You know how it is. If a person's got a drug problem and they tell you, well, it's not a problem, I can handle it, it's not serious, it's not an issue. You can't help them as long as they're in denial. Somebody's got a drink problem. It's the same. As long as they're in denial, there's no problem. You can't help them. It's only when they begin to acknowledge, yeah, there is something here, needs to be dealt with, then you can help them. But as long as you live in this self-deception, in this delusion that there is no God, well, who can help you? Only God. I commend you to him. Pray for you day by day and week by week that God would open your eyes to see and your ears to hear, that you might tremble at the word of God, that you might repent and believe the gospel. It's the only hope, only way of salvation, only way of being reconciled to God, only way that his wrath can be turned away from you. When you believe, when you raise the white flag, it's not more information that you need. It's not proof that you need that God exists. You got all the proof that you need. It's all around you. It's in your face. Every time you look in the newspaper. Now what you need is submission. What you need is the white flag raised. Surrender. Submission to God Almighty. Through his son, Jesus Christ. But you folk that have swallowed the lie, exchanged the truth for a lie. You know, taking on board the devil's lie of evolution. You ever thought about it? I mean, seriously? You ever read one single book in opposition to your darling godless theory of evolution? You ever read one single pamphlet in opposition to it? You ever read one paragraph in opposition to it? No, you haven't. You just take it on board just because mummy or daddy told you, eh? Or just because the school teacher told you, or because university professor told you. You just accept it blindly, stupidly, daftly, like an ox being led to the slaughter. You don't even think about it. Well, I ask you this afternoon, put your brain into gear, do some thinking for yourself. Ask yourself this question. The sun came up yesterday and the sun came up this morning. Do you think it'll come up again tomorrow morning? How can you guarantee that? How can you even expect that if you're an evolutionist? I mean, the uniformity in nature. You say nature's uniform. Of course the sun will come up tomorrow. And it'll come up the day after and the day after. And so it'll go on. Well, how can you expect that if you're an evolutionist? Everything's just an accident, isn't it? An accidental bang that made everything. You're just a piece of chemical fizz. That's all you are. Everything's random. Everything's accidental. So was it accidental that the sun came up this morning? And can you guarantee that the same accident will happen tomorrow? You know why there's uniformity in nature? Do you know why the sun came up this morning and it'll come up tomorrow morning? Because God put those laws there. He put the uniformity in nature. I mean, how can you expect, you believe in common decency? You believe in law and order? You build prisons, don't you? You've got prisons by the score, by the hundreds in your evil, wicked nation. How can you expect there to be law and order if you're an evolutionist? I mean, how logical, how stupid, how inconsistent is that, I ask you? Huh? How can there be law and order if it's a survival of the fittest? Why is it wrong? I ask you, why is it wrong for one man to murder another? Isn't that just the survival of the fittest? Why is it wrong for a man to rape a woman? Why should you expect there to be law and order? Hey, if evolution's true, if you're just a piece of chemical fizz, that's all you are. He was a German philosopher about 100 years ago. He berated the English atheists. He says, you cling to your morality. That's from Christianity. Get rid of your morality, he said. You can't be an atheist and cling to your morality. Well, at least he was consistent. That's more than you are. But you expect there to be law and order. Eh? If your house is burgled tonight, you'd expect the police to turn up. You would expect them to find the burglar and put him in jail, wouldn't you? Well, if you're an evolutionist, what right have you got to expect that? It's only just the survival of the fittest. So at least be consistent with what you believe or claim to believe, at least anyway. There is no such thing as an atheist. There is no such thing as an agnostic. You know that God is. It's time you bowed the knee. It's time. Time that you raised the white flag. It's time that you surrendered to the Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ, and escape the wrath to come. It's all like you say, people. It's all in God's books offered to you. Bible says, you know, that through one man's obedience, sin came into the world. Of course, that one man was your first parents. He brought sin into the world, and it passes on through the generations. Because you get sinful kids, you get wicked kids, just the same as you are. How could you expect there to be a clean thing come out of an unclean thing? How can a clean child be brought out of an unclean parent? That's an impossibility. With you at least anyway. But you see, it's passed on, the disease. It's passed on through the generations, one after the other. And of course, the sin multiplies. That's why your world's growing worse. It's not evolving. I mean, again, if you believe in evolution, shouldn't your world be growing better? Shouldn't you be evolving into something better? I mean, you used to be a monkey, you used to be a daft ape, and now you're a human being. Don't you think that the human race should be evolving, you know, getting better? But the evidence is before you, in your face. You're growing worse, growing more wicked. You're degenerating, not regenerating. It's another evidence that your evolution's a load of nonsense. You've not even thought about it. So I say, people, the sin that came into the world by one man passes on through the generations, multiplies as it grows. It's an organism, grows and grows. And the end, the world that you're living in, well, when it comes to that final stage in human history, when God brings it to an end, the world will be so wicked, you won't want to be there. But of course, if you're not here, you'll be somewhere else. You'll either be in heaven or hell, depending, of course, on what you do with God's Son, Jesus Christ, as to whether you believe in Him, receive Him, or reject Him. So, like I say, sin, disobedience came into the world through one man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. None good, says God. Only God is good, says Jesus. I ask people, even some of you who subscribe to your atheism, I ask you, I say, you know, when I talk to you personally, I say, you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? And you'd be surprised. even the hardened atheists tell me, well, I hope so. I think so. Not sure. So I say, well, on what basis should God allow you into His heaven? And they say, well, because I'm a good person. I say, really? You ever told a lie? And a smile comes across the face. So I say, well, how many? One? 1,000? 10,000? A million? How many lies? No lie shall ever enter my heaven, says God. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? You've already committed adultery in your heart, Jesus says. Nothing unclean will ever enter my heaven, God says. You ever stolen anything, big or small? £20 note, pencil, anything. No thief shall ever enter my heaven, says God. So there goes your goodness. There goes your merit. There goes your claim to heaven. There is none righteous, says God. No, not one. None who understands, none who seeks after God, all gone out of the way together, become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one, says God. It's only on the basis of God's goodness any person will ever enter heaven. It's only on the basis of what God, in His grace, goodness, kindness, and compassion has provided that any person can ever make claim to heaven. Only through the goodness, only through the obedience, only through the righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You ain't got no goodness. You ain't got nothing you can offer to God. I mean, what could you offer to God by way of righteousness, you know? That God should accept you. Any goodness you have got, anything good in you you got from God, it was a gift from Him. The only thing that you can really, really claim as your own is your own sin. That's all you've got. The only place to bring that's to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there to ask Him, implore Him for forgiveness, for pardon, and for mercy. So that sin, you see, it came into the world through one man. You're born in sin. You came from sinful parents, and so you got their nature. And of course, that nature can only be changed supernaturally by the miraculous supernatural power of God. So Jesus means when He says you must be born again, lest that miracle from God changes your nature, you just naturally keep on doing what you do, sinning, wickedness. Never, man never did desire God until he was born again. Man or woman never did desire the things of God, holiness, obedience to God. Never did desire anything such as that. Not until he's born again. You see, you love what you should. You love what you should hate, and you hate what you should love. But that sin, you see, that's what it means to be ungodly, to be in nature contrary to God, and to be in practice contrary to God, in your words, in your thoughts, in your deeds. You know where all the mess in your world comes from? The war, the refugees, all the starvation and stuff. You know where all that bad stuff comes from? Comes out of the hearts of men and women. Out of the heart comes, out of the mind, says Jesus, comes evil thoughts. And those evil thoughts turn into evil actions. That's where it comes from. That's why the Bible demands repentance of you. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Think he's got to change. That's what the Bible means by repentance. Change your mind. Change your mind. State of your mind has to change. That's why, where all the evil thoughts come from. All the evil ideas. Your evolution, your godless evolutionary thinking. All the false religion, Roman Catholicism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Islamism, all of them. Idolatrous religion comes out of the mind, fallen, sin-sick minds of men and women. And all the vileness, all the vileness that you see in your world today, that's where it comes from. God didn't make it. God's not responsible for it. You are. I am. We've all contributed to it because we're all sinners. All got sinful natures, sinful thinking, and sinful practice. That's why God requires of you that you repent, that you change your mind from your false religion, your false thinking, and your false ways, to think God's thoughts after Him. You find them in the Bible. They are higher than your thoughts, higher than your ways. So you see, the disobedience, sin came into the world by one man, Adam, your first parent. But of course, the Bible goes on to say that by the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. Not your obedience. What obedience could you offer? I mean, try to restrain yourself. Try and apply yourself to God's commandments. You find them in the Bible. You find them in the book of Exodus. You find them there. all 10 of them, and what God requires of you. No other gods before me. No images to bow down before. No taking of the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not covet. See, people, you try and apply yourself to those commandments. Try stopping, if you will, just for 24 hours. Try stopping using God's name in vain. You won't get through the 24 hours. It's ingrained in you. It's the habit. How can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, how could you possibly do good? Not unless God changes your heart. Not unless you're born again of God's Spirit. Not unless you're made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Not unless by the supernatural power and actions of God, you're made to desire what you should desire, God and His righteous kingdom. So you see, people, no matter how much you try to obey, you just cannot. It's not in you to obey. So it's not through your obedience that you're made righteous. Through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous, the Bible says. Not will you, many, many, not everybody, many, some, but not everybody. Only some will be made righteous. Those whom God has chosen from before the foundation of the world. See, it's not down to you to become a Christian. You can't do that by yourself. You have to be chosen. You can't choose yourself. God does the choosing. He's sovereign. He chooses whom He wishes to choose. And of course, well, you can't believe by yourself either, because faith is the gift of God. Could ask for it, of course. Can't repent of yourself. That's a gift too. So you see, it's none of it down to you. It's all down to God. And He has mercy upon whom He has mercy, wills to have mercy. Not of the human will. It's of God's will whether a person's saved or not. So you see, people, by one man's obedience, many, not everybody, some out of each and every generation, some will be saved. And that's a mercy, isn't it? Majority of you, I guess, under the sound of my voice here this afternoon, you'll go out of this world the way you came in sin, lost. You'll live in sin, you'll die in sin, and you'll go to a lost eternity in sin. That's the way it'll be for the majority of you. Don't doubt that for a moment. Many, many will be made righteous, says God. Not everybody. Only those whom God chooses. Only those who believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ. Only those who repent of their sin. Only those who are born again of God's Spirit and washed in the Savior's blood. Only they will be made right. Only they will be accounted righteous by God. Only they will go to heaven when they die, when they're finished on this planet, on this earth. So by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Who's that one man? And one man's Jesus Christ, God's Son. When He offered Himself up on the death of the cross, Christ died for the ungodly, you see. He's the one man, His obedience. He was qualified for that death on the cross because He was sinless. Because He was perfectly obedient to God, to God's law. He never sinned. He never broke God's commandments. Never once. Not in thought. Not in deed. Not in nature. Not any which way. He's the perfect Son of God. That's why he was able to die for the sins of others. Plenty others, thousands of men who were crucified in Roman crosses, but none of them were able, none of them could bear the sins of others because they were sinners just like you and me. But Jesus was qualified because he was sinless. He knew no sin. God made him sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. His obedience, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous through the obedience of Christ. And it's only when you forsake your righteousness, because yours, God says, is like filthy rags. He won't even touch it. He won't even look upon it. That's the best of your deeds, not the worst. That's not your evil. That's not your downright wickedness, blasphemy and theft and lying and coveting. That's the best of your deeds, your kindnesses that you do. God says they're like filthy rags in his sight. Won't touch them, won't look upon them. So you see, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. That is the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. So when you forsake, when you give up trying, when you give up working, when you give up being religious, when you give up everything, absolutely everything, you hear some preachers, daft preachers I call them, they come out and they tell you this won't cost you nothing, it's a free salvation. I tell you it'll cost you everything. Everything you are and everything that you have. Because unless you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus Christ says. An absolutionist, you know. Total, absolute forsaking of everything in and of yourself. And you get the obedience of Christ by faith. It's received, you see. It's not achieved. All you can do is achieve more sin. Because everything that you do, people, is tainted with sin. Very best of your deeds, your good works, you know. You give to the poor. You say, oh, I'll open my house to 6 refugees. Eh? That would be a kind thing to do, wouldn't it? But it don't get you no merit in the sight of God. Not one ounce, not one iota. No matter what you do. You give to the poor. You help the blind. You help the old lady across the street. You know, whatever you do for your neighbor, no matter a hoot. Because if it's not done in faith, if it's not done through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, it is sin. It is sin, people. And so, until you come to that place of forsaking self, forsaking your righteousness, when you come to that place of seeing yourself as a miserable sinner, see yourself with nothing to offer God, see yourself as totally undone, and ready to cast yourself upon Jesus and his righteousness, only then will you be ready for God's salvation. Only then, of course, when you believe, shall you be justified before God. Justify anything or anyone's to make it right. The only way a person can be made right with God is through faith in Jesus, God's Son. Of course, it says that glorifies God, not you. Of course, human pride cuts against that. Human pride doesn't like that. In your human pride and self-righteousness, you like to think that you're good. You like to think that you've got some merit in God's eyes. You like to think you've got something to offer God. Must be something good in me, you say. No, says God, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. A heart is only evil continually. And the thoughts and the intents of the human heart is only evil continually. That's the best of you and the worst of you. There's no difference. No difference. The most respectable of you, you who look down your self-righteous noses, you know what, the beggar and the drunkard and the drug addict in the street, you ain't no better than them. You're not a whit better than them. You might live, eh? You might live up in Nob Hill. Eh? You might live in your detached house. You might have drove in here today in your classic 4x4, and you look down your nose at other people, broken by sin, and you despise them. Self-righteousness. Jesus ain't got nothing to say to the self-righteous. He says he came for the brokenhearted. He says he came to set the captives free, came to give eyesight to the blind, came to relieve the oppressed, came to set the captives free, but he's got absolutely nothing to say to the self-righteous. Not a single word. You're relying on your self-righteousness, whether it's religious or otherwise. Walk on by. Walk on by. This is not for you. But are you ready to forsake? You're ready to abandon your self-righteousness and acknowledge the truth of God's word, that just like the rest of us, you're undone. You've got nothing to offer God. You're a miserable sinner. You're lost and you're facing the damnation of hell, just like all other men. Lest you're made righteous by the obedience of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Only His righteousness will get you past the day of judgment. When you come to that judgment court of God's, and you will, we must all appear before the judgment throne of Christ. You stand before that court, that judge, I tell you. You stand before Him in your sin, in your unrighteousness. Unless Jesus steps forward and says, "He or she is mine," you are assigned to a lost eternity, to the damnation of hell forever. I tell you these things not because I hate you. I tell you these things because I love you. What do you think if I was your neighbor and your house was on fire and you were asleep in the house, didn't know your house was on fire? If I just shrugged my shoulders and say, "Well, it's not my matter. No business of mine. It's up to them." That's hardly what you would call love, is it? Huh? If your house was on fire and you didn't know it and were asleep, I would do everything to awaken you. I wouldn't just knock on your door. I'd kick your door in. I'd drag you out your bed in order to save you. And I'm here to tell you, your house is on fire. This is such a wicked, godless generation. It's a wonder you can't smell the sulfur, that you can't feel the heat of the flames already coming out of hell. I tell you, except you repent, you shall all of you likewise perish. I tell you these things because I love you. You're on your way, you're heading towards a precipice, and you're totally unaware of it, and you're going to fall into a lost eternity. Somebody doesn't warn you. Somebody doesn't sound the alarm. You live in a city. Oh, you've got churches in the place, but where are they? Where are their voices? You don't hear a word from them. They'll sing to you, they'll dance for you, they'll feed you, but they won't tell you the truth that you're lost and on your way to a lost eternity. They won't warn you. They don't love you. They don't love you, they love themselves, just like the most of you. But unless you love my Savior, unless you bow the knee to Him, unless you forsake your own righteousness, unless you abandon your own righteousness and lay claim to the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith in His name, I tell you, there's no hope for you. It's the only hope. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved.
Why did I get shot in Northern Ireland then?
Wicked, sinful men.
Hey?
Wicked, sinful men. Wicked, sinful men. That's not God's fault. They need to repent just the same as you.
I wouldn't have got shot, would I?
Adam's McGinnis, a whole lot. The wickedness of man, nothing to do with the God.
Well,
that's man. It's not God. It's not God. See, blame God for everything, like, eh? As soon as something goes wrong, you know, there is no God, you say, in your foolish heart. But as soon as something goes wrong, some evil befalls you, you know, you're blaming God, eh? I tell you, there is nothing so inconsistent as a godless atheist. Nothing. Eh? But of course, atheism's a crutch, you know, for those people who can't cope with the reality of God. Now, forsake your righteousness, abandon it completely, and put your trust, your faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, His obedience, and His death on the cross. Stand here week by week, Thursday by Thursday, to proclaim the glory of the risen Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And for that reason, and that reason alone, you ought to bow the knee to Him. He's Lord, not Muhammad. He's Lord, not Buddha. He's Lord, not Confucius. Jesus Christ is the Lord, because He's alive from the dead and alive forevermore. Muhammad's dead, buried, and gone to his own place, hell. Buddha's dead and buried and gone to his own place. Jesus Christ is alive, alive forevermore. He overcame sin and death and hell. Jesus Christ is Lord. I proclaim Him to you. He who once was slain in order to reconcile men to God. Man's greatest need in any day and generation. Whatever your needs are this afternoon, your greatest need is to be reconciled to God. Alienated from God, hostile to God, cut off from God, separated by your iniquities. The Lord Jesus Christ, once slain to reconcile man to God. So forever, now forever, He is the Lamb upon the throne, exalted, crowned in glory, and He rules throughout the world. And it's time that you gladly, thankfully, bowed the knee and worshiped Jesus Christ. You say, I worship Buddha. You say, I worship Muhammad. You say, I worship myself. People, unless Jesus Christ is your God, unless He's your Savior and your Lord, I tell you, you will perish in your sin. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty. The wages are still death. From its power that holds you in its vice-like grip, and from its presence that permeates your world, your society, your homes, and in your hearts. And only one way by which you can be delivered from it. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. You'll find it in God's Word, the Bible, and there alone. You'd like to have a copy of God's book, take it home with you, read for yourself. It's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you, whatever. You like one, you come and ask for one.